It's time for Tonia's Kitchen, taking you around the world of food and wine. Here is Tonia King.
My guest today is George Geary, award-winning chef, best-selling author, and renowned educator. George, you have another brand new book out, Made in California, Volume 2. So glad to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I just returned from France. So
oh.
I'm a little, I think I'm back to the time zone I live in. You know how that goes.
You have such a background that is so remarkable. I mean, we could talk for hours about that. But the fact that you put so much time into California and sharing all of your wonderful knowledge about these great places. Tell us a little bit about Made in California.
Well, first, my whole repertoire, somebody rattled it off one day at a thing I was speaking. And this one lady in the front row, she was probably about 30 years old. She looked at me and she goes, "Are you about 95 years old? Because nobody can do all that in a lifetime." And I thought, well, some things are at the same time, you know. Made in California was just by accident. I did the first one a few years ago, and we thought we would do all 100 locations that I found. I found about 120 locations that started in California and kind of went nationwide, like McDonald's, fast food places, restaurants and things. And then we thought the book would be too big. It would be such a huge book to where we cut it into two. So the second half just came out yesterday. I was in Indiana teaching at Purdue University one day, and I noticed on the road all of these signs that said off-ramp what food was there. And I realized in my mind, this is about 10 years ago, all these places were from California. Because I want something local. You know,
right,
I want something not normally just a local fast food, but something local. And I thought, why'd I even leave California? I've got everything here too. So, but that's what started it. And I thought, well, I wonder if the very first like In-N-Out burger place is still there. I wonder if the first Wiener Schnitzel is still there. Things like that. So then I started researching the locations and it just became a book. And I started this second half, what I thought was interesting is the kids are alive. They've sold the company, you could say mom and dad did. And so I'm researching and talking to the kids and finding where they are, which was really fun. And that's kind of how it started.
It's all these American food icons, IHOP, Jack in the Box, A&W. And yet in this edition, like when you say you're talking to the kids, did you find that most of the family members want to keep it going or not?
Not really. What was interesting is you could say Ruby's Diner was one. The founder, I talked to him. He's still alive. Fascinating guy. And a lot of them just decide, okay, it's time to sell. Or the kids weren't really interested. Johnny Rockets was one. And I found the daughter. It was an interesting way of finding her. I researched on newspapers.com and I found her name, that she had done an op-ed about something else. And I started researching where it said she lived, what area of Los Angeles, and I found out where she was. And it's interesting, I can find anybody. So that's kind of how I found these kids of these owners. And the kids are, you know, 50. The daughter of Johnny Rockets, she opened up the Japanese locations. And she said, I was tired of hamburgers. You know, she wanted to do something else. So it's interesting. It really is that, well, there are some companies. There's a company called Porto's that will become even more famous soon because they're going into Disney. They're going to be on Downtown Disney soon. And it's a Cuban bakery family owned place. And it's the second generation is doing it right now. And they are a fascinating family and just so much fun. So it really is interesting about the kids.
And you were a former pastry chef for Walt Disney Company, weren't you?
Yes. So I've warned the family about certain things. Yeah, I've helped. Oh. Well, it was interesting. Their locations are humongous in California. They've got five or six locations and they're huge. They have three different lines. And I'm sitting there talking to the daughter and I said, Disney came in here. This is before I knew they were going to Downtown Disney. I said, Disney came in here and helped you, didn't they? With people flow. She said, how did you know? I said, I can tell. because I worked with Disney for 10 years, and somebody is standing in the front door greeting them. And that person says, "What are you looking for? Are you going to have lunch here? Do you need a bakery item, or do you have something on to go already?" And they filter these people through the bakery, hundreds and hundreds of, more like thousands of people a day in these stores that are around Los Angeles area.
Wow.
It's fascinating. It's food that you've never eaten, like potato balls that are the best, and they do milk cakes that are phenomenal. They're very Cuban desserts. And the story, since you have the book, read that story on Portos. It's an
Yeah.
American, they left Cuba, and it took them 10 years to get here. And she started making cakes in her little house, and it became this huge conglomerate. So that was the other thing. A lot of people don't know, the big corporations don't know their history. So I was uncovering history for them.
You know, I was just going to say that you're like a historian here in this whole thing. It's so cool to be able to open up, for example, the Cheesecake Factory and just
Oh.
read about the history. It's fascinating. So you've put all this stuff together. Plus, you got some very cool photos in here, old ones, new ones. This is just, it's a wealth of knowledge about finding out some of these stories behind these legendary places.
Every chapter could have been a book by itself. I had to learn
Yeah.
to stop. And I was on a panel for a PBS station. We were doing an event about food. One of the editors from LA Magazine was there, and he, on the panel, he said, "George, you are the only one that I know that get pictures that we've never seen before." And what I do is I f ask the family. In fact, like the Johnny Rockets, there's a picture of the founder in a on a motorcycle inside the location. And the daughter said, "I'll let you use all the pictures, but please make sure that one's in the book. I really want to see my dad in that book because he died of cancer years ago." And so I made sure that was in the book.
Oh my
But I
goodness.
do my research. I have to learn to stop because I just want to keep going with some of these places. And it's kind of like what I do. I do turn over rocks that I didn't realize I was going to find. And there were some that I didn't talk about in the book because it would have hurt the family in certain places. But when I do a talk, I kind of talk about those things a little bit that I shouldn't.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
they're public knowledge, but I have unleashed them that the family didn't even know about their ancestors.
Are you covering the entire state of California? Because I mean, that's quite the chore.
Well, what it is, it's I looked at places that started in California and went multi-unit. I wanted them to go outside the state, like Porto's Bakery didn't go out of the state yet, but it will. IHOP, that went all over the country, all over the world, because I've been in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, and they have an IHOP there, which is
Oh,
fascinating. You're like Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity in Abu Dhabi. But Southern California predominantly had these places versus Northern California. There are some Northern, Pete's Coffee is Northern California, which I talk about. There's a few others, but mostly Southern California is where these places started.
I'm surprised to see, is it Noah's Bagels, New York City Bagels?
Yes, Noah Alpert. Now he, I love to learn from these people. Noah sold the company. And when they sold it, they had been kosher bagels, and they were very New York taste and feel and water bagels, and they were really good. And he had a chain of, I think, about 24 locations at the time. Well, the new company bought it, and they didn't stick with the kosher bakery bagels, and they changed it. And I said to Noah, because I got him on the phone, which I love it when I can talk to the founders. They're still around, besides the kids.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
said to him, I said, "Noah, you know, what do you regret? Because the recipes aren't the same. Because these companies buy each other up, and they change it completely. And I don't know why they buy them if they're going to change them, but they do.
Exactly.
And it's crazy." And he said, "George, when you sell a house, you can't tell them what color drapes to put up." And I said, "I
Well,
guess you're right." He goes,
yeah.
"I got the check and it went through." Unlike two other people were very upset, Mrs. Fields and Famous Amos Cookies, they are nothing like what they were when they started.
No kidding.
Mrs. Fields, when she was around her cookie place, They'd be at the mall. You would smell the cookies being baked because they sprayed out the scent into the mall. There was a line down the way, and she would donate the cookies if they were longer than 3 hours sitting. So they were normally hot and fresh, pretty close to every time. And now you go, if you see a Mrs. Fields place, the cookies aren't anything like they were. And same thing with Famous Amos. His were really good cookies, buttery, and now they're little pieces of sawdust in the vending machine.
What was your biggest surprise with some of these change, some of these places that have changed?
Well, a lot that there was a place, there was a chain, Caro's, and it was a coffee shop, kind of like a Bob's Big Boy. There's a few Bob's Big Boys left, but not a whole lot. They're in my first book. But Caro's opened in 1970, and it opened up in Santa Barbara. They had at one point about 300 locations, I believe. I'd have to look, but hundreds. And now the last one closed recently. I was a company bought them and kind of started cutting them down, and it became only a shell of itself. And then I went to the very last one, and while I was there, I asked the gal, I said, this is the last one, isn't it? And she said, yeah, it's closing next month. So I kind of swiped some menus and stuff. So yeah, I really wish I had like a briefcase with me all the time. I'll ask for them, but a lot of the time they don't want to give you stuff. So I kind of take the tent, the table tent, or sugar packets, because I have pictures of all these things. And when I do talks at libraries around the country and things like that, I have a whole table of memorabilia of things for people to look at. There was a chain of the Big Yellow House, and there was about four, maybe 20 locations. It's a fascinating place. It was a big house. The original is still there, but they don't serve dinner there. It's in Santa Barbara, outside of Santa Barbara. And they would serve family style, the same menu. The whole time it was chicken, steak, and chocolate cake for dessert and mashed potatoes. You know, it was just, they would just bring all the food you wanted, and you kept eating and eating. And kids were charged by their weight, which I don't know if they could do that today. They put them on the scale and they charge them X amount per pound. I
Oh
just
my
look at
gosh.
that and I go, ooh, I don't think you could do that today.
Oh my goodness. That's really interesting. So you have really discovered some interesting things about each of these restaurants.
And you know, it does say made in California, but a lot of them are all across the United States. And it's really fascinating to see, is the very first location still operating? Like you mentioned IHOP, and I've been to IHOPs because they're about the only thing that's open 24 hours when I'm teaching or lecturing till 10 or 11 at night in these little tiny towns.
Right.
And I'll go to IHOP, and I'll just mess with the waitress, because you know, I'll say, if you can tell me where the very first IHOP is, I will give you double tip or something. And they'll go, I don't know where it is, you know. And their memorabilia in IHOPs across the country is wallpaper that has a picture of the very first one, but it doesn't say where it's at. And it opened across the street from the last remaining large old-fashioned Bob's Big Boy in Glen in Burbank, California. And they opened because these two guys saw that everybody was buying hamburgers, but they weren't serving breakfast. So they thought, hey, we can get the breakfast crowd. So that's how IHOP started.
Isn't that interesting? There's some of these classics like IHOP and the whole A&W thing. It's interesting to see the transformation from the 50s up until now.
Because the 50s brought the coffee shop, Denny's, which
Yes.
Denny's was originally a donut place, and it was 24 hours close to where they manufactured cars in the aerospace industry in Southern California. And then today, the chains are more not a mom and pa opening up a place, but it's a corporation.
Exactly.
And what it is, it's a type of the chains now are yogurt stores. Yogurt places opened within 2 years of each other. Coffee places, that's another one. Juice places, there were three or four juice places that started up. Jamba Juice started in San Luis Obispo, and then Juice It Up was one that started a few years later. pretzel places all started. Not all in California, but the ones I mentioned were California. But it's interesting. If they can make it in California, they'll make it nationwide.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems that California is the trendsetter with all this. Do you agree?
Yeah, we're the fattest place. No. No, and I get that question a lot. It's the car culture that started the 40s and 50s. You know, like In-N-Out Burger, everybody wants In-N-Out now. And they've opened up corporate headquarters in Franklin, Tennessee, and they're starting to go on to the East Coast. I'd say within 5 years, you'll see them all over the East Coast. It seems that it does start in California. There's some companies that just don't make it here. The Five Guys, they aren't doing very well, but they're still around. Whataburger is one that isn't doing well. Five Guys, they seem to think when they came to California, they were going to become the king and overturn In-N-Out. And I really think it's similar to what you're used to in your taste buds, because people will eat In-N-Out and they'll say, oh, it's not as great as I think it is. But Californians, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread. So I think it's what you're used to and what you grew up with in that respect. Similar to Dunkin' Donuts. Nothing against Dunkin' Donuts, but they tried 3 times in California. And I mean, if I could talk to their corporate headquarters, I could tell them what their problem is. They bake in a few commissaries and they deliver in the morning and they are not fresh. A donut place needs to be fresh and you need to see it being baked right then. We have Winchell's Donuts and Yum Yum Donuts, which is the same company. One bought the other, but they've kept them separate, which is shocking. And those have been since the 40s.
And they're still there?
They're still there and they're hot donuts. You get them pretty hot. Yeah. They have a sign that they light up, similar to that other donut place from the South that lights up a sign that says they're hot and fresh.
You're such a historian. It's amazing what you know about all of these places that have just changed over the years or are still there. And
When I'm traveling, people think because you're a food person and I've written 16 books and most of them are cookbooks, but then I started into the historic stuff. They think that you eat at these high-end restaurants every night. And I never thought I could talk about the fast food until I was with Julia Child, probably 15 years ago, and we were at an event in Philadelphia at the train station, and it was a dinner, and the caterer didn't bring the food. And there was a lot of us. And I was sitting at Julia's table with her, and she said, well, there's a McDonald's. Let's go get some French fries. And I thought, if Julia can get French fries, I can. And so I can talk about it now. And I do. I was, like I said, I was in France, and I did the very first night I got into France, because I'm in the south of France. I do food tours down there. And my assistant and I said, where are we going to eat? It's 10 o'clock at night. Nothing's open. He goes, well, there's McDonald's. I go, I can't believe I'm taking you on a food tour and we're going to McDonald's the first place. But we did. And I think it's fascinating to eat at fast food places that you're used to and see what they have that's different. It might not be the most edible thing, but it's fascinating.
Well, it is, and it's not like you're doing it every day. So, did you
Right.
actually get the French fries with Julia?
Yeah. And this before you had a cell phone to take pictures, because I would have taken a picture of she and I eating French fries. And the other thing was her favorite, which I never got to eat with her, but was Costco hot dogs. And so
Really?
she loved the Costco hot dogs. She thought that was a really good price for $1.50, and you got a drink. And she loved that. She lived not far from a Costco in her. She had two homes when she retired completely. It was in Santa Barbara area, and there was a Costco close by there. But yeah, I did a lot of work with Julia back in the day. In fact, when I did my French tours, we used to live in her old house that she wrote her French cookbooks for the first 20 years.
Oh
I
my
did,
goodness.
and that was pretty magical. Oh yeah, and in the south of France, we do a whole week. And the first day we have croissant in the morning, and you know croissants are packed with butter,
Of
and
course.
I get the butter from France and it's like no other. They don't even import this butter here, and it's the block is so hard all the time. You have it sitting out and it's so hard no matter what it is.
Wow.
I have one gal that has been on my tour 4 times, and last year, I got to ask her because she just got home. Last time she came on the tour about 3 years ago, she went and bought butter and took it home, and they confiscated it on the way home.
Oh,
So
gosh.
this time she said she's putting it in her carry-on and she hopes to God it gets through. So I don't know what happened. I've got to find out.
So, George, are you still doing a lot of cooking?
Oh yeah. In fact, yesterday I did a I'm testing some recipes for my next book that I'm working on that'll be an all recipe book. Shocking. I'm going back to recipe book. And I was doing a mojito pound cake yesterday.
Interesting.
Yeah, so think of what's in a mojito. You've got rum, lime, and
Mint.
mint. And so I have a glaze on it. It's a beautiful pound cake. You can look on my Instagram. I took a picture and popped it on yesterday. And I created the recipe about 10 years ago. And I thought, you know what? That'd be good in the next book that I'm working on. So I thought,
Oh.
we'll do the mojito cake. So and oh, it's so good. You
So
know, it's.
it's a mojito pound cake, and it's basically the glaze on top with the mojito flavors. Is that it?
Well, the pound cake itself does have some mint in it, chopped up, very fine. I like to glaze and frosting, but not really frosting. It's a double glaze. It's
Right.
a rum soak in the while it's still in the pan, and then I pop it out after 10 minutes, and then I put a dark, a more of a powdered sugar with a rum glaze on top of that. And to think I was just going to be a pastry chef for the Walt Disney Company,
Look at
and.
where it's taken you.
Yeah, that company.
And you turned into a cheesecake king too, right? Making
Yeah,
cheesecakes.
that's where my next book was supposed to be another cheesecake book because I did all the cheesecakes on Golden Girls.
Yes,
I
that's
worked
great.
that was before Disney.
We're talking with food historian, chef, educator George Geary. Brand new book called Made in California, Volume 2. Just a fun book, George. I so much appreciate you sharing some of your time with me today. And how do we find you on social media?
Well, Instagram is Chef Geary, Gearry, and that's where you'll see the mojito cake that I did last night, and all my television shows and all of that because I do a morning shows in San Diego, California. Those are all listed there also, and then you can see me on Instagram, and then my website for books are is georgegeary.com, but you can buy them at any bookstore also.
That's great. George, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. I hope you'll keep me posted on the next book when it comes out so I can get that recipe for that mojito
Maybe I'll send it to you now,
cake.
so then you don't have to wait 2 years.
Well, that's good. That's good. I really appreciate your time today, George.
Thanks so much. Great talking with you.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll subscribe to this podcast as we continue to take you around the world of food and wine on Tonia's Kitchen.